When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Oh, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Crypts of Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful mystery, and there's no Jay today, guys, no Jay. But we're going to be joined by some amazing guests, authors, putting on some amazing festivals in the hometown of one of our own favorite cryptids. So we're going to welcome Christopher and Christina. I'm going to let you guys promote all your stuff. You guys got so much amazing stuff. I'm so excited for the festival. You guys got great books. So please, let's start the promotion.
So we have our convention in October, October 26th. We are going to be hosting Cromwell's very first paranormal convention here in town. There's going to be a lot of podcasters there, a lot of investigative teams, many, many authors. So it'll be a lot of fun. And so that'll be October 26th. And then at night after the event, we will be doing ghost tours of downtown Crawfordsville. We do those every other Saturday throughout the year, but there will be one scheduled that night for people to kind of get an idea of where some of the spooky things happen in our area. We have an investigation planned for October 5th. At the Carnegie Museum here in Crawfordsville, that'll be open to the public. They'll be able to come in and play with the equipment the investigative teams use during investigations and kind of get an idea of what people do when they do this for themselves. And of course, in September of last year, we put out our first book, Ghosts and Legends of Crawfordsville, Indiana. And next year, we are planning on putting out a book, Haunted Montgomery County.
Awesome. So, going back to the event, it's the Crawfordsville Paranormal Conference, right?
Yes.
That's awesome. So let's talk about who you're going to have there for speakers, where it's at, how people can follow up with details and, you know, get more information and buy tickets, obviously.
We have it's free to the public. We have information on our website as well as our Facebook page. And you can find us at legendsloreandhauntings.com. We have Uncomfortables coming, Tinfoil Tales is coming, There's so many of them.
Mufon.
Mufon is coming.
Oh, that's awesome.
We have, of course, I would draw a blank right now. Cryptic Creatures is coming. We have another Indiana podcast coming. Myth and Hoosier Myth and Legends coming. And they're coming both to be a speaker as well as promote their new book, Haunted Dearborn County. And we have Seeking Casper, a local group that does investigations. They will be speaking as well as have a booth. And so it's just, there's just so many. Right now we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 different teams coming, to the event to talk to people and make people aware of what they do. So it's going to be a lot of people there.
No, that's,
we haven't nailed down exactly who's all speaking yet. Yep. I've got people coming back to me, hopefully this week. Several teams have reached out that they want to talk. And of course, MUFON will be talking, and Cryptid Creatures will be talking, and Hoosiers Myth and Legends. I know those three for sure. And a couple others are getting back to me this week on what they're doing.
That's awesome. So it's in Crawfordsville, Indiana, home of the Crawfordsville Monster, which is one of my favorites, one of my all-time favorites. Anybody hasn't listened to that, that's like a season one episode for us. Where can people, if they're coming, driving from a distance, is there anywhere local to stay? Is there hotels you guys suggest?
Yeah, we're kind of really nicely located because we're just a 40-minute drive from Indianapolis. So we have a lot of hotels here. And I do mean a lot of hotels. There's at least a dozen hotels in town.
Awesome.
So there's a lot of places to stay, fairly reasonable price. We are potentially partnering with a hotel chain here in town. That'll be going up on the website soon, as soon as they get back to me with what prices they're going to charge and things like that. There's a ton of places to eat. The location where we're having the festival is right beside most of our restaurants in town. So it's real easy to go grab you some food. We will have food trucks at the event, though, for those who just want to eat on the property, as well as our favorite food truck of all time. It will be there. There's a lot to do in Crawfordsville. It's a really interesting little town for only 15,000 people.
That's about...
And aside from our convention that day, there's also going to be a comics and collectible convention going on in town at the same time. Our local Rotary Jail does ghost tours as well as our Masonic Temple. So you can come for our convention and stay and do a whole bunch of stuff all day long.
As well as Ironman Raceway will be going on that weekend. So for those people who like racing, it's just outside town. And it's one of the biggest races for dirt bike and four-wheeler racing in the state.
We have about a half a dozen restaurants that we have stories about that we'll talk about that have some haunted paranormal activity going on. And we will keep a list of those in case people want to have their dining experience a little spooky.
I like that. I like that a lot. In case you want your dining experience a little spooky. So the hotels, I always try to remember. Jay's normally the one that does this stuff, so he's normally better at it. Where the people come from, you told the website. And everybody, I'll have all the links below. Once these guys will send them over to me, it'll all be in the show notes so everybody can click that and find what they need. But yeah, it's going to be super exciting. Now, are you guys going to talk about the Crawfordsville Monster at the fest, or who's going to talk about the Crawfordsville?
I am hoping to have a 3D model done by then. I am
That's awesome.
Working my heart out to get a 3D model, and I will send the picture to you when we're done. I actually finally got a drawing done of the Crawfordsville Monster that fits it. I personally think to a T. I've never seen a photo as well as good as what this lady drew for us. So it's been amazing, and I'm hoping to have some information by the festival about the Crawfordsville Monster. I'm hoping. We found the information on one of the families of someone who wrote about the Crawfordsville Monster, And I am reaching out to them in hopes that we might be able to get some of the interviews from 1910 whenever it was discussed with the people who were still alive at the time.
That's awesome.
If you attend our ghost walks, we definitely stop on the corner where it was seen and talk about it.
Yes. It's my favorite cryptid of all time.
I love it. I love the picture.
And so I absolutely love it. I've spent the last 25 years extremely excited about it and researching it. And we've got a lot of information on it that I think a lot of people don't know, because a lot of people just took it on that someone came out and tried to call it a flock of birds later on. And we actually know a lot more about the story than that. And we actually know a lot about the two gentlemen who tried to make that claim.
That's awesome. No, I'm super excited. I'm trying to remember. So yeah, I'll have all the links below for the event and all the information. Everybody, if you're in the area or you want to go hang out, go hang out. You guys also, like you said, you do your books. Now, I want you to, why don't we talk about your books?
Well, we have Ghosts and Legends of Cropsville, Indiana out currently. We are currently working on 5 others. And we were going to put one out this year, but we had to kind of slow up a little bit because with putting so much work into the convention, it made it hard to have time to write.
Yeah.
So I hope to have that done before next year, because this year just getting the legwork done for a convention is time consuming. But our book was out in September and it's been a big hit with the community. We've done a lot of talks with different people and different groups that we would never, ever have imagined that would even be interested in a talk of this type. And we have a lot more of these talks planned before the end of the year. And so it's a lot of fun to talk about the different things that are in the book, as well as a lot of things that aren't in the book. We could have easily wrote 3 books on Cropsville alone with all the amount of stuff. There's over 200 years of history of the paranormal in the area. So we have a lot more coming.
Awesome. Do you want to tell us some? Now I know you don't ever give away a lot of the book, but you got to tell us one of the like a ghost story. You got to give us something.
Oh yeah, we can give you a couple things that were really cool.
Please do.
I work for Wabash College. I work at the college. I don't work for the college, but I work at the college, and I will tell you, the people who work there and work overnight and things like that are terrified of the buildings. Some of these buildings, one of the buildings dates back to 1832.
Really?
Yes, it's still there. It's the very first building they built on campus, and it's still there, is there to this day. And obviously we remodeled it a lot, but there's some creepy things about the college. And there's some really interesting things too. When you read the book, you'll see a lot of pictures that I went around and took of the college, especially of Lambda Chi, one of the fraternity houses. And the story of the lady who died there and who the boys regularly see, especially on nights where there's raining and storming, is very interesting. They still have a plaque up with her talking about her and showing the original railing where she died. They've still got a piece of it in the building. Even though it's been remodeled many times since that happened. And it's very fascinating that she still seems to visit the boys and keeps an eye on them 100 years later. And so that's a very interesting little thing about the college. And, of course, we have a building on campus that's terrifying. I've worked there for almost 10 years. My dad's been there for over 40. And there's one building on campus that I just cannot stand to be in alone, because you feel things as soon as you walk in the building. And if you're there alone, people have had experiences where they were afraid they were going to get hurt because of how crazy it gets down in the basement of this building. The library is a very, very interesting place.
So there's not very many people who have any sort of association or connection to Wabash College that does not have some sort of story of something that went on there that happened. I have had family members that worked there in the past who quit after having terrifying experiences, where things moved that should not have been able to move on their own whatsoever. And it's really hard to see, you know, someone you look up to as, you know, a grown man, a couple of my uncles who tell me, like, I would never go back in that building ever again. Like, you couldn't pay me to go in there. So.
Yeah. There is a story about the college that is very, we find very interesting. It didn't make its way into our book, but it is my wife's favorite story about the college.
It is. So one of the science classes was doing some work on dissecting some cats, and they were not being exactly humane on how they were doing it. They were just tossing the remains out the window into the garbage when they were done. And several of the boys in the class started complaining that they were being haunted by ghost cats. And so the science building had to change the way they were doing things and humanely dispose of the remains after they were done, because the boys were really upset they were being haunted by the ghost cats. And I love that. So rightly so. If you're going to not do things humanely, you should be haunted by ghost cats.
There you go. Do things humanely. Or you get, that should be the SPCA's new slogan. Do things humanely or you'll get haunted by ghost cats.
We have a place in town that has been a funeral home, a sanitarium. It's very terrifying. We recently just learned some of the history about the place, and I feel bad for the people who live in it. And we haven't told people the address of it because we don't want to scare the inhabitants. I'm sure they've got some wonderful stories of the building, but it's very interesting the way Carpentersville's set up, because we're not very far from Indiana State Sanitarium, but we have our own. We've had two sanitariums in the town of Carpentersville, as well as over 200 years of training mediums and spiritualists in the city of Carpentersville, which is very strange for such a conservative state to have an area that is so has been so devoted to spiritualism for 200 years, including. One of the neatest things I ever discovered in the New York Times, where they talked about the famous Carpentersville Ghost Club of 1891.
So the Ghost Club, they were a little eccentric. They met in a building that they knew people had been murdered in. So they chose to meet in that building. They used a hospital gurney as their desk. They had a bell that they used to chime in their meetings with. The bell had been involved in a schoolhouse fire where some children had died. The rope that they used to ring the bell was a rope that had hung John Henning, who died at our Rotary Jail Museum. He's one of only three people who was ever hung at that museum, or well, when it was a jail. And they had actual... they had actual human skulls that they used as candelabras when they rang in. And the only rule in order to join this club was that you had to prove that you had seen a ghost. And that was proving in the 1890s that you had seen a ghost. And we have no documentation on how that was proven. I would love to know how these people proved these stories. We also have no documentation that this club has ever been dissolved in our town.
And we do know that a lot of the clubs that have been in Carpentersville are still here from well over 100 years ago.
So we're always trying to put the word out that if anybody is a part of this secret ghost club society, we want to join. I'll tell you what my proof is. You know, contact me. Hit me up.
There you go.
Yeah, so I think you know, you've got that. Of course, you got the Carpentersville Monster, which is, you know, which was huge in 1891. But and is my favorite cryptid of all time. But we actually have another cryptid that has been seen in the county, and I believe you guys have done an episode on or talked about it on an episode. I remember not deer.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have had one seen in the area, and we've actually all the way dating back to actually just took the paper down. It was above my desk. It was in the early 1900s, and I have recordings all the way up to the 1990s of people seeing it still in the exact same part of the county. And we wrote about that in our book. But I'm fascinated with that story of the knot deer and the idea behind that.
It's also very close to the same region in our town where the Giant's Graveyard was found. Yes. So,
which was one of my coolest things they ever find is when you actually get to go to a location where they actually found giant bones. And I actually got to go there. And I'm hoping to get to go there and do some excavations and see what I can't find. But it was the coolest thing in the world to actually go and get to look at a place where they talked about taking out skeletons that were up to 15 feet tall.
Wow. In North America, like, there was so much of that for such a short period of time where I truly believe they were actually removing giants. I don't know what they did with them, but they got rid of a lot of those corpses, a lot of those bodies.
Well, we know what happened to ours.
We know what happened to
what
ours.
What happened to yours?
They fed some of the bones to dogs, and then other people took pieces of them for souvenirs.
Yeah, that's why it happened to a lot of them.
It wouldn't be surprising to me to find that some old home that you would go in the attic or the basement and still find one of those bones, because we've got homes that date back to the 1850s, 1870s, all over town. And so I wouldn't be surprised at all to go and find that some of the stuff still exists. We found that with our ghost photography studio. We actually found people who have the photos still from it. And these were kind of hidden away after a while, because a lot of it was debunked. Even though our gentleman was never proven false. People started hiding them. They didn't want to talk about it, that they'd had this done. And we're finding people who have these photos that are over 100 years old, which is really cool.
Yeah, we recommend anybody whatsoever, if you have really old family portraits that are like in frames that are more than 100 years old, very delicately take them out of the frames and see if there are pictures hidden behind them, because that's what families did mm-hmm. with their ghost photographs. When it went out of fashion, they hid them behind other photographs so they would still have them.
Or paintings or books. Like, they would open up the back of books and they would stick them in the very back, and they would just sit on the shelf forever. No one would see it. And that's a really big thing, is we talk to people and are like, oh yeah, you know, I went home after I talked to you and found this. And that's just the coolest thing ever.
I think we had that in my grandma's house, to where they were just family photographs, but like a whole bunch of them behind one of her photos on the wall.
In my family, they were not ghost photographs, but we found photographs hidden in the bottom of a dresser. We had taken all the drawers out when we were moving, and underneath all the drawers in the bottom of the dresser were photographs, old tintypes.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Fascinating.
Yeah, and that's it's the neatest thing in the world to find all those.
Yeah, it's history.
It's the coolest thing ever. And but with so much paranormal stuff happening and being such a welcome thing here, it's very neat to find that people in our area are coming back around to it. About the 1930s to 40s, it kind of died out, but it's reviving here quite a bit. You're seeing a lot more people open to it, and a lot more people want to be a part of it. And so it's very interesting. They used to have, it used to be preached, spiritualism was preached from our courthouse steps every week. We would have people who would just stand up there and preach about spiritualism and what would happen after death. It's a very interesting community.
And all of our local churches would invite the spiritualists to come and debate spiritualism versus their particular type of religion. And it was an open discussion. It wasn't a hostile thing. It was just, come and tell us about this. Let's see how this fits in with what we're doing.
And we talk about a lot of that in our book, about the spiritualism and about some of the key figures of Crawfordsville and some of the things they did. One of my favorites that we talk about is Fisher Doherty. And Fisher Doherty was a man of the state. He almost ran for governor and probably would have got elected if he had, because he was very popular. And him and a gentleman named John Speed, they actually ran the Underground Railroad in Crawfordsville, which we still have lots of monuments and a lot of areas in town, including there are still tunnels underneath our streets where they came through.
Wow. Wow.
We owned a building at one time that had access to the tunnels. And so it was really neat to see these kind of things. And some of the creepiness apart it. We have a place that's it's Old Culver Hospital to us, but it's the old hospital in the book. And the morgue had just recently gotten taken out. The morgue had been there through 3 or 4 different renovations, where it went from being a hospital to apartment complex to nothing to back to an apartment complex again. And they just recently, within the last 10 years, took that morgue out. That morgue had been there the entire time. And people still talk about the things they would see when they would go down to the morgue, because you could easily go down to it.
It's another location in town that almost everybody knows somebody who has a story and an experience happened there.
Wow. So, yeah, it's definitely, 1830 something was when the town?
1832 was when the town of Crawfordsville was kind of created. The county was created shortly before that, but Crawfordsville was kind of that first little thing that was done here outside of it.
But yeah. There can't be much older in Indiana than that.
Right. And the funny thing about this county is the area that was the very first place where it was found, the very first person moved to the county. We have a monument. It's called the Offfield Monument. And that is in what I call the Haunted Valley in our book. And we tell several stories about the Haunted Valley because there's a ton of paranormal history there. There was a witch doctor that lived in that valley. There was a Hibernian mill where a gentleman, his spirit was haunting the mill. And some very famous, very important people of our town, the Elston girls, would throw picnics so people could watch the ghost perform and do things at the mill all the way up until they found his corpse. And then after that, he had vanished. And shortly later, they tore down the mill. We had a meteorite strike there that a guy said he saw some extremely strange things after the meteorite strike. We have lots of sightings of Bigfoot in the area. We have a camp not very far from there that I personally grew up at, and it's very interesting when you get down there. Some of the things you see from the way structures are down inside the woods and things like that, this shouldn't be there. So there's clearly something moving throughout that area. I personally believe.
Close to Crawfordsville, outside it a little bit. It's not in Crawfordsville, but we also had a sighting of a giant skunk.
What?
And they said the size of a small barn.
Okay. a giant skunk the size of a small barn?
Yeah. Yes. Some men went into the woods to hunt, and they came running back out and said they came across a giant skunk the size of a small barn.
Yeah, it was a group of fox hunters, and fox hunting was a big thing in the area at the time. And they were terrified, and it was in the paper for several days because they kept going back out trying to find it and trying to kill it.
Do you remember what year it was?
I want to say somewhere in the 1868 range.
Yeah, somewhere. Okay. Now, that's interesting. I wonder how much of that is exaggeration. I do wonder what they've seen, though. I believe a lot of these stories have, you know, they have to have truth to them somewhere, some nugget in there. So maybe not the size of a barn, but yeah, size of a bear.
Oh, yeah.
That's still a very scary skunk.
Oh, yeah. Very, very, very scary. We have a sighting where a gentleman talks about seeing what I could only describe as a actual gorilla to a T sitting in the middle of the wagon path as he's going from his farm to town. And he talks about how this thing is sitting there, and he describes it to a T just like a gorilla. He knew what a gorilla was. And it's very interesting. A lot of the creatures that you see in the area, a lot of the creature sightings that we find not very far from here. They found mastodon skeletons and things when they were digging up. We have a famous crinoid that you can find here, and you can't find anywhere else in the world. And you just literally can drive or walk down along Sugar Creek and just see these skeletons of this crinoid right in the bank.
What's a crinoid?
We're a hotbed for crinoids.
It's a creature that looks like a plant that was here during when there was water still on the in this area several million years ago. It has like the root system, which are really easy to find, the roots of them. And they would dig into the ground, and then they would have the super long stem. And a lot of people call the stem Indian beets.
I know exactly what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And so, but here you can find the entire specimens in the rocks.
Oh, wow.
It's really hard to find the heads of the creature, but you can find them here a lot. And we're one of the only places, I think there are three different species here that they're only found here in the world.
That's so awesome.
You can just go walk Sugar Creek and just find these everywhere. They're just out.
That's amazing. So there you go. Anybody going to the festival, go walk Sugar Creek and find you a crinoid.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I think that's the coolest thing about Cobblestone is you have lots of little things like that that's only found here.
You can't find it
anywhere else, which is just fascinating to me. All the little cryptids I've found, because I'm a huge cryptid guy. I'm obsessed with cryptids. And, of course, I listen to 28 different podcasts that all have cryptids in the name. I literally love cryptids. And living in an area where at any moment you might run into something you can't explain is just amazing.
I will also say we have had a lot of UFO sightings here in town.
Yes.
And across the way. And some people will come and tell you their stories. And you always have to take things with a grain of salt. But there have been a lot of people who come to us to tell us these stories. And you thought, I never would have thought in a million years you would tell me that you think you saw a UFO.
That's happened on our show so much with like locals, that like people you know all your life, and you know they I know what they're feeling.
Well, that's like the Carbazo Monster was the very first recorded UFO.
What did you say?
1891 is the very first time that it was ever talked about in a newspaper as a UFO, as something unidentified in the air, which was really interesting the Carbazo can claim that they're the very first place that was ever recorded in a newspaper about a UFO.
I think one of the newspaper clippings we had for the episode that we found, you know, talked about it being a sick dragon.
Yes.
Which was really, it's an amazing creature that just doesn't fit into a lot of categories. But you see that in the sky in 1891. I mean, that's a hard thing to put in a box.
Yeah. And, you know, over 100 people saw it, prominent people who were important to the town. The Reverend Switzer, who was actually the first reported person to see it, he actually is the person who found, who was able to turn in the murder of a famous murder that happened here in town. Like, people respected him a lot.
And he's the one saying that, there's a giant one-eyed monster in its throat, spewing smoke, wheezing and dying.
Yeah, the idea behind that, and of course the guys came out later and said, you know, that they said it was a flock of killdeer. And then the outrage that the community had afterwards, because they said that, and of course everybody in the nation took that off as Cromwell's crazy, but the people here were outraged about it.
There's actually an interview we found where people said, how could you trust them? They're both drunks. So that's what people felt about them.
Oh my gosh.
It's fascinating. Plus, we also found an article where a similar creature was seen in Ohio a few days later.
Okay, you'll have to send me that.
Day before.
Ohio a few days before, and then Illinois a few days after.
Yes, that's the way it was.
You guys will have to find that and send it to me.
Yes, I will do that.
Because I'm ecstatic about that. Like, I can't wait.
We spent a lot of time on just that one thing. Our bucket list is to go to New York City and get all the interviews that were taken. We're trying to get our hands on a few of them, but most of the interviews that were done for the article written by Vincent Gaddis are in New York City at one of the museums up there.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I mean, from 1891, they're going to be somewhere in some collection.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Vincent Gaddis' family is actually who we're in contact with to get permission to get some of these things.
Yeah. That's awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Well, we're at the half-hour mark. Yeah. If you guys could, before we wrap it up here, please, once again, shout out how to find the festival, how to find information, and then shout out where your books are, how to find you guys, and how to purchase stuff. And then everybody at home, I'll have all this in the show notes below.
LegendsLoreAndHauntings.com. That's also the name of our Facebook page. You can find all of our stuff on there. You can also, and I try to keep it up to date with when our ghost walks are happening, up to the minute sometimes, as well as all of our the events as we are rolling them out, except for private events. Obviously, we don't put them on there because they are private events.
Right.
You can go to BarnesandNobles.com, Amazon.com to get our book. Of course, local people can pick it up from every museum in Crawfordsville has our book. And there's a lot of museums, so there's a lot easier way to get it when you're in town. Of course, we'll have our book at the festival for those who want a signed copy. They can pick it up from us.
If you come through and come to one of the ghost walks, we sell the books after the walks. Yes. So.
Yeah, and it's really easy to get your hands on, and it's a really reasonable price. And so I encourage anybody who wants to read about Crawfordsville, it's a very good book. Or so I personally think.
No, I like the book.
Well, and even if you just want to know more about the book, you're welcome to contact us on Facebook or on the website. We love talking about Crawfordsville's history, and we're always up for a chat. So.
Oh, yeah. We can bore you to death real quick about all the stories about Crawfordsville.
I can't wait. I'm so sad we can't come to it this year. We'll be there probably next year. I imagine so. I cannot wait. Now, you guys know how we like to end this. We're going to count down from three. We'll all yell bye, and then the outro will play. You guys ready?
Yeah. Yep.
3, 2, 1. Bye! Bye!
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the Jade Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.